that you are all of those things that we have just sung and more. In fact, to be honest, our words, our lyrics don't feel remotely adequate to describe your greatness, your splendor, your glory. So tonight, Lord, we turn our hearts to you afresh. We bow the knee. We submit and yield ourselves to you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Accept our worship, O God. We are in awe of you. So Lord, tonight as we open up your word, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would teach us truth. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take the principles and apply them specifically to where we are and what we're facing and what we're doing, how we're living. Lord, we pray that you'd penetrate our hearts. You would soften us, mold us, and open us wide to you, to your heart, to your purposes. Holy Spirit, we declare that our ears are open to hear. Come speak to us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. I can see a sea of faces out of the bright, shiny lights. Okay, so, quick recap. We're still in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, as you remember, is a message from the Good Shepherd to his sheep. That's us. And the first key, we go back to the first week in January, all those months ago, the first key is to choose the right shepherd. Because the good news is, if you let him lead, he will take you to all the places he promises in Psalm 23, and it's a beautiful thought. That's the good news. The not so good news is that God is not the only one trying to shepherd you. There are other competing candidates. Your flesh, your feelings, the world, I mean the media, the devil, your enemy. And I want to read through Psalm 23 through that lens just for a moment, contrasting what the good shepherd is telling you versus what the stranger or the hireling or the thief wants you to hear. Of course, there's an enormous difference. In fact, the course of your life will be strongly and tellingly influenced, affected by the voice that you choose to follow. So let's read through Psalm 23. Thank you. Oh, look at that. Perfect. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The voice of the shepherd is saying, you have and you can. The voice of the shepherd, the voice of the stranger is saying, you don't and you can't. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The voice of the shepherd is leading you into peace. The voice of the stranger into turmoil, into conflict, into disunity. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd's purpose is restoration and righteousness. The enemy's is destruction and sin. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The voice of the shepherd strengthens faith. The voice of the stranger feeds fear. That's where we were last month, if you can remember that long ago. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The voice of the shepherd will remind you of your anointing. The voice of the stranger will encourage you to follow fleshly impulse. And then finally, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd's voice is merciful and convicting. The enemy's voice is demeaning and condemning. Here, there's an enormous difference in each of those pairs. And the question is, what voice are you hearing? Who are you believing? And who, therefore, are you following in? Because so much rides on how you answer those questions. Okay, today I want to zoom in on verse 5. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And as I said just now, the voice of the shepherd reminds you of your anointing. But the voice of the stranger is encouraging you to follow fleshly impulse. But the Lord wants you to be spirit-led. He wants you to be spirit-dependent. He wants you to be spirit-filled. He wants you to operate anointed, clothed with power in his strength and ability. The flip to that is the enemy is trying to get you to forget about that mantle entirely. And he wants you to operate instead out of flesh, out of emotion, out of fear, out of overreaction or angry impulse. The last thing the enemy wants is your cup running over. He wants you lost in the desert with a well that's dry and empty so that you have nothing for you and nothing for anyone else. But the flip is even in the presence of your enemies, even in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord purposes to fill you up until your cup runneth over. Pouring out his anointing so you have all that you need. And the reality is, we need his anointing on our heads. And the world around you needs your cup to be running over. You know, in stark terms, we have a choice. And the choice is anointed or not. It's his strength or ours. It's his spirit, Zechariah 4:6, or our might and power. It's the best I can do versus all he has and all he purposes. You know, that principle is true in church. Is it dead or alive? Is it dry or is it overflowing? Is it natural or is it supernatural? In essence, is it anointed or not? And believe me, you can tell. It's true in the church. It's also true in your life. Are you operating independently or are you drawing on the Spirit of God? Is it flesh or is it grace? Do you draw from the well, or have you forgotten that you even have a well? Remember, the voice of the shepherd will remind you of your anointing. The voice of the stranger will encourage you to follow your fleshly impulse. And the aim today is to remind you of the anointing that you carry. And when we get there in a little bit, we're going to ask the Lord for fresh anointing as we respond in a bit. So we'll start in Psalm 23, and I want to look at David and the anointing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I don't know about you. As I read that, it sounds really personal to me. I want to just give you three quick episodes from David's life. Three stories, actually. Story number one is David receives the oil of anointing. Find this in 1 Samuel 16:1. Familiar story. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." And if you remember that story, one by one, Jesse's various sons came through the house, and one by one, Samuel rejected them. Until eventually they sent for the youngest one, whose name was David. And if you remember, he was out in the fields tending his father's sheep. Verse 12, "So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, 'This is the one, anoint him.' So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had bought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on." Now, this was a massive moment for David. One actually that explains much of what happened and how he reacted later in his life. That oil upon his head, running down his chin, onto his garments, and dripping down onto the floor. That oil was hugely symbolic of two things. First of all, number one, his consecration. And secondly, number two, his empowerment. And through the Bible, we see the anointing oil in those two contexts, with those two specific purposes. Firstly, consecration, ordination, setting something or someone apart to the Lord for his service. Exodus 28:41. "After you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, the priests, anoint and ordain them, consecrate them, so they may serve me as priests." Leviticus 8, verse 10. "Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, and so consecrated them." So number one, consecration. And number two is oil as a symbol of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, verse 38. "You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And then Mark 6, verse 12. "They went out, the disciples, and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them." So number one, that oil represented David's consecration, him being set apart to the Lord. And secondly, it represented him, his empowerment, God's presence and God's power with him. That was story number one. Story number two shows how much David valued that anointing. It's in 1 Samuel 24. By this point, relations between Saul and David had completely broken down. And Saul had chosen 3,000 elite troops to hunt David down. Sounds pretty scary. And if you remember the story, 1 Samuel 24, at one point, Saul went into a cave to refresh himself, if you know what I mean. And as it happened, David and his men were hiding at the back of that same cave. What an opportunity. Here right now was a chance to solve David's greatest problem and to accelerate his path to the throne that he had been promised by the Lord. Verse 4, now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one. The Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. Why wouldn't David kill Saul? At first glance, it looked as though this whole situation was divine providence. Let there be no doubt, Saul had made it his driving ambition to hunt and to stamp down and assassinate David. But here's what I reckon. The clue's found in verse 6. The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one. For the Lord himself has chosen him. And several times, David wrote, touch not the Lord's anointed. Why? Because the anointing was a massive, huge, big deal to David. He knew it was crucial as a symbol of his consecration. And without it, he knew he was powerless. So it was exceedingly precious to him, and he would do anything to protect and preserve and to nurture it. Reminds me of a story that Benny Hinn tells about Catherine Kuhlman, who was a slightly strange figure. She used to wear very long dresses, but she was very, very powerfully used of the Lord in signs and wonders. Many people were healed and saved and delivered under her ministry, but she was a slightly strange character. And he remembers her on stage saying, don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. He's all I've got. He's all I've got. We're talking, of course, about the Holy Spirit. And so the moral of the story is that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the most precious thing that we have. And so we have Psalm 25, verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I'm sure David replayed in his mind over and over again that oil running down his head and down his neck. That represents God in me. God on me. God for me. God through me. That represents my calling and my purpose and my gifting. That oil represents my office and my status and my destiny. Above all, that oil represents his presence with me. You see, it wasn't Saul who was messing with David's head in that cave. It was the oil. It was the oil. How can I touch what God has anointed? If I treat that lightly, it undermines what I have. Do I value this or not? Is it important to me or not? Is it from God or not? To which David would say, absolutely. It's all I have. Story number 3. Everyone likes a good story. Again, this is David. This is post the whole Bathsheba Uriah incident. And after a little while, David was exposed, as you recall, by the prophet Nathan. And he was brought to his knees in repentance. And he finally realized, what have I done? And in his woe, W-O-E, David writes Psalm 51. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me of my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. And he continues in repentance for another 5 verses. And then in number 10, he says this, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit in me. Verse 11. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. A desperate prayer. Oh no. What have I done? I've jeopardized my anointing. I've risked everything. Is he going to abandon me? What was I thinking? How badly, Lord, I need your presence. That intimacy I've so relied on. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Again, the point. David knew how crucial that anointing was to God's presence and God's power. Actually, it was everything, and he thought he'd blown it. Here's the thing. The devil knows all of that too. And he laid the perfect honey trap for David. And he fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. That's the background behind that verse. Anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Hugely personal, hugely significant words for David, and I would say for us too. I want to do some really, really quick anointing theology, and then we'll relate this to us as God's people, and then we'll get to response time, which is why you came, I know. So three points quickly. Number one, Jesus himself operated as one anointed, crucial. Number two, you too have received the anointing of heaven. And then number three, which I guess is where we're headed, we need to learn about, we need to operate by and grow in the anointing. Really quickly through those. Number one, Jesus operated as one anointed. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Already read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Little verse, Philippians 2, verse 7. When the time came, talking about Jesus, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. Other verses say that he emptied himself and took on the status of a slave and became human. We understand that when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he emptied himself and lived as one anointed. Empty himself of what? Not his character. Jesus was still perfect and divine and pure and holy and all of those things. The answer is he emptied himself of his divine power. The three O's, his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. Knowing all things, being able to do all things, and being everywhere all at once. He laid that down, came to earth as a man and operated then as one under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so for Jesus, it was the anointing that gave him power. It was the anointing that gave him the ability to perform miracles, that gave him his wisdom, that gave him all of that prophetic insight. Jesus came to earth as a man and operated under the power of the Holy Spirit. Which leads to number two. We too have received the anointing of heaven. Luke 24, verse 49. I will send my Holy Spirit, Jesus said towards the end, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. One more verse, 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So to make a very long story short, the expectation is that we should, like Jesus did, we should live Spirit-filled, aware of his presence, a vessel for that anointing oil, carriers of his power. And our kingdom purpose is to continue the mandate of Isaiah 61, Luke verse 4, chapter 4 that we've already read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to do all of those things that Jesus did. And as Jesus operated out of his humanity as one anointed, so must we, if we're going to fulfill that kingdom mandate. Takes us back again to Psalm 23, David's statement. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You too have that anointing on your head. You too need an overflowing cup. And the message is that the voice of the shepherd will be reminding you of, he will be stirring within, he will be leading you towards the anointing. But the voice of the stranger will be luring and agitating and distracting you away from that and towards fleshly impulse, towards emotive overreaction, angry impulse, towards fearful withdrawal, towards self-effort and self-righteousness. Whereas the Lord wants you to be Spirit-led, clothed with power, to function as one anointed. That would be a very good place for an amen. Amen. Which leads to number three. Number three is we need to learn about the anointing. We need to operate by the anointing. We need to grow in the anointing. And the principle goes something like this. All of us have God-given gifts, God-given talents, what we would call anointings. And our job then is to offer them to the Lord because he can do far more with them than we can ourselves. A couple of simple examples. A simple example would be this. There's a stark difference between the singing of a nice song, lovely though that is, versus one that carries the presence of heaven. And you know the difference when you hear it. The difference between an uninspiring preach, just rolling through a standard set of points, or one that has a prophetic edge, that carries passion and poignancy and power. And again, you can tell the difference. On a practical task, there's the functional completion of a job as requested, or doing it as unto the Lord, with the skill and the attention to detail that comes from involving God and seeking him and leaning on him as you do your work. Like some of those Old Testament craftsmen, Bezalel and Aholiab, who the Bible says were given special skill and ability. They were given anointing. The oil of the Holy Spirit, taking the natural and adding a sprinkle of the supernatural. That is the anointing. And here's the point. The anointing can empower and ignite and magnify our God-given natural gifts. If you like, it's God's super on your natural. And that anointing elevates it from the best I can do to the more that he can do. It elevates it from ordinary to extraordinary. It elevates it from stale to alive. It elevates it from hard work to empowered. And again, you know the difference. The anointing is the tangible power and presence of God that rests upon everything he touches. So we need to learn about the anointing. We need to operate by the anointing. We need to grow in the anointing. We need to read through the Gospels and study how it was that Jesus functioned. We need to constantly ask the Lord to fill us afresh. God, anoint my head with oil. Lord, fill my cup until it overflows. In essence, we need to learn to go beyond the natural and to operate in the supernatural as one empowered, as one anointed. Here's a thought I had last week. If you need one thing in 2024, it's not more money, though I'm sure none of us would turn it down. It's not a better job, not a bigger house, not a newer car. You know what it is? More anointing. More of who he is and what he brings. More of his super on your natural. More of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to ignite and energize all you do in his name and for his glory. So we're going to personalize this and ask you some specific questions. They're going to be on the screen to help you with this. First question, what has God called you to do? Question number two, what has God given you? What has God given you? Here's another one. Where have you seen or felt God's anointing on your life before? Maybe it's drifted. Maybe you kind of feel like you've lost it. But that's a great clue as to what it is that God has imparted within you. What God has placed in your spiritual hands and heart, as it were. Where have you seen and felt God's anointing on your life before? Here's another question. Have you limited yourself to natural, or have you sought the Lord for anointing? This is a really practical question. This is a Monday morning, 10:30 question. Have you limited yourself to natural, or do you seek the Lord for anointing? Here's another question. Do you revert to the safety of what you know you're good at, or do you offer it to the Lord for his unction, for his inspiration, and for his power? It's very easy to operate on autopilot, isn't it? This is what I do. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Here we go. And it just becomes limited to natural. We're called to live beyond natural. We're called to live anointed. And we're called to invite God into the process, to sprinkle that supernatural on our natural. Unction and inspiration and power are available. And I just wanted to challenge some of that today. I wanted to give it a bit of a nudge. We're going to take this into ministry in just a second. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. He said, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Two things we can glean from that. One, the gift was given to him by the laying on of hands. And secondly, Timothy had a responsibility to fan that gift into flames. And we might do a little bit of both of that in just a minute. When push comes to shove, folks, you need the anointing on your head. You need your cup to run over. And you know what? The world around you needs the anointing that you carry. And people around you need to drink from that overflowing cup. I'll ask the worship team to subtly and discreetly make their way to the front, if that's okay. How do we respond to that as we go into ministry time now? Can't see the clock. Good news. I can see my timer, but I can't see that clock. So we're good. Plenty of time. Three possible responses I'm going to suggest tonight. And the first one is consecration. It's something that goes something like this. Lord, I give you back what you have given to me. Ties in with some of the questions I asked just now. What has God given you? What has he placed in your hands? And we get to lay it down. We get to surrender it to him. And we get to pray a prayer like this. Lord, would you anoint it? Lord, would you empower and energize and enlarge and increase it for your glory? But the first part of this anointing process is the consecration. And that's maybe the call for you tonight. Maybe to get on your knees and say, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, would you take it? Would you do something powerful with it? I offer it back to you for your use and for your glory. That's response number one. Response number two is, I'm calling impartation. We know, we understand, if we've read through the book of Acts, we know that the Holy Spirit is given by the laying on of hands. And so today, we're gonna offer you that. A few folks will come and help me. We've got bottles of anointing already. And we'll anoint you. We'll anoint your head. You know, anyone around here apart from me could do with some fresh oil. Who could do with more. More of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit represented by that anointing oil. And so one possible response tonight is come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll literally anoint you with oil and we'll pray an impartation of the presence and the power of heaven. I'm expecting everyone to come forward for that. And if you don't, you can pray for me. And the third option, as always, we have the ministry corner open. You know, if you'd like the prayer ministry team to pray for you, I wrote down here to meet you where you're at, wherever you are, whatever you need. You're one of our values. Don't leave this place tonight with that burden that's still sitting on your shoulder and weighing you down when you have the opportunity to go and talk to one of your brothers and sisters and together to cast that care on the Lord, pray the blessing of God and the promises of God over you. And get shot of the thing. We'd love you to have that opportunity. What we'll do is I'll pass back over to the team and we'll go into a time of kind of reasonably gentle response, I think. I don't think you all need to be singing. This is about receiving. This is about responding. It's not about singing. The psalmist will sing over you, as it were. Feel free to join if you want to. But we've got as much time as it is until you decide you want to go home, just to spend some time consecrating. Let's spend some time imparting. Let's spend some time ministering. And let's see what the Holy Spirit can do, because we need to be an anointed people. We need more of that oil. I don't know about you, I need that cup running over. and overflowing. And what if that cup feels like it's become dry? Do you know how it gets filled up? In the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll respond. Why don't you stand? Stretch those legs. Maybe raise your hands to heaven. Open, outstretched. Kind of position of invitation and slight vulnerability. And I pray that very simple prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. We desire you. We are open to you. Come fill us afresh. Lord, you know what's stirring in our hearts. You know what gifting and calling you have placed upon our lives. You know what has stirred in the past and perhaps has faded into the background that needs to be reignited. So Lord, as we reconsecrate all of that to you, pray, Lord, for fresh oil in your house tonight. So Lord, we give you this time. Back to that very simple prayer. Holy Spirit, come.